We'll begin our reading in our very first verse here. You'll have to have some patience with me. I was carrying some water softener salt downstairs a couple of days ago, and I tweaked my back. And I've never done that before, but I'm in serious discomfort. Last night, I tried to cut out coffee for the month of January. Last night, I didn't get a lot of sleep, so the coffee's back. It didn't take long. It's back. So bear with me. John chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Could you imagine threatening Lazarus with death? Been there, done that, all right. Verse 11, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather together around your word. And I pray that you would use this time as a time of help and direction and guidance in our life. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. And may you be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Jesus arrived in Bethany where Lazarus lived. Now the home that they were at didn't belong to Lazarus. According to Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, that would be the parallel gospel. It was Simon the leper's home. And this wasn't just any dinner party. This wasn't just any supper. They were at Simon's home. Really, it speaks of his healing. It speaks of his changed life. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that you wouldn't have supper with a leper. I mean, that wouldn't make sense. And so it really speaks of God's work in Simon's life, that God changed him. The Bible teaches us that not only was Simon there, but also, verse 2, the Bible speaks here that Lazarus was also there. And the Bible, as its own commentary, teaches us that it was the one who Jesus raised from the dead. And there were very few that were able to sit by Jesus, but the Bible says that Lazarus was sitting with Jesus, and I'm sure that Lazarus had a lot of questions to ask Jesus at this particular time. I mean, this was really a dinner that really celebrated the incredible work of God and his changing power in people's lives. I mean, Simon was a dying man and Lazarus was a dead man. And yet, both of them are sitting at the table with Jesus. Now, we would also assume that the 12 disciples are present at this particular dinner. Now, the Bible says that Judas was there and he's called out in this story. And they're sitting and they're listening to this conversation that's taking place. Simon talking about a changed life. Lazarus talking about a changed life. You can imagine this conversation. You can imagine Simon saying, you don't understand. Jesus made me whole. And Lazarus saying, you don't understand. I was in a hole. I mean, God changed me. He made me alive again. The Bible says that Martha, according to her personality, she's serving the meal, verse number 2. She was a very practical woman, and we need these type of people in ministry willing to serve Jesus in any way that they can. And Jesus, of course, is the honored guest, and the Bible teaches us that it's 6 days before Jesus would go to the cross. The Bible says in verse number 3 that Mary, this would be the sister of Martha, she walks into the room and she approaches Jesus Christ and she breaks open an alabaster jar and she pours this, first of all, over the head of Jesus, though John doesn't mention this, Mark does, and she pours it over the head of Jesus, and then she falls to her knees, and she pours what is left on the feet of Jesus, and then wipes this ointment with her hair. The Bible says the fragrance of this perfume, it fills the room, but also tension fills the air. The Bible says that Judas is quick to rebuke Mary for her sacrifice. And I find it interesting how people will hide behind piety and give what we would call spiritual reasons for a carnal heart. And this was the reason with Judas here. He made it sound like he had spiritual intentions, but his heart was far from God. The reality is he was a thief and he wanted the money for himself. But Jesus is quick to honor her. And in fact, Jesus makes an incredible statement in Mark chapter 14 and verse 7. The Bible says, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. Jesus said the actions of Mary will be remembered for generations to come as she sacrificed, as she showed the love that she had for the Lord Jesus. And so I want to use this text, if we could, this morning, and think about this idea broken and spilled out. I want us to notice, first of all, in our text, Mary's contribution. Mary's contribution. The Bible says in verse number 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. First of all, we notice in this passage of Scripture that Mary gave Jesus the best that she had. Mary gave Jesus the best that she had. It is described here that Mary gave the Lord a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, the word there, spikenard, means that which is pure. It was the best in Bible days that money could buy. In fact, the Bible, describes it by saying it is very costly. The Bible says that it was an ointment, it was a perfume or an oil, and this would cost a year's salary, a year's pay. 300 pence equaled a year's wage. 1 pence was the average pay for 1 day's labor. And so this bottle of perfume, this cost a lot of money. You could imagine someone sacrificing and giving to the Lord that which was $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in our standards today. And this was a costly sacrifice that was being made. In Bible days, perfume was one of the most precious things to Eastern women. And Mary was taking her precious possession and she was giving it to the Lord Jesus. And we find a similar principle in the life of Abraham. When Abraham took his only son, his begotten son, and he brought it to Mount Moriah, and there he was going to give his son to God. He was going to sacrifice his own son to God. He was taking his prized possession, his precious possession, and he was giving it to his God. The example is given in this passage of Scripture that Mary, she's going to give her best to God. She's not going to give what is rest, what is the rest. She's going to give what is the best. And so the Bible teaches us here that Mary gave to the Lord and sacrificed to the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ gave his best to us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus gave us his life. He surrendered to death. The God of heaven, who knew no sin, submitted to the very punishment and the wage of sin. The Bible says that he gave us heaven's best. But understand this principle. Jesus didn't demand for Mary to give her best. You know, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus told Mary to give the ointment to him. The Bible doesn't say that this was a command of Mary. No, Mary did this willingly out of a heart of love. You see, this was Mary's response to God's work in her life. And this is indeed the memorial that is given. You see, we give to God not because we have to. We give to God because we get to. We give to God because we love him. We give to God because we thank him for all that he has done in our life. Mary gave because of her love. She loved the Lord Jesus greatly because Mary was serving, Martha was serving. Some have suggested that maybe Martha was connected here with Simon, that maybe it was the wife of Simon, the older daughter. We really don't know. But the reality is this: Mary was thankful for everything that God had done in her life and in the lives of others. Mary was thankful for God's work. And the Bible says from her heart of love comes this sacrifice and this devotion. Now, Paul encourages in 2 Corinthians, he encourages the church at Corinth to make a sacrifice and help the hurting believers in Jerusalem. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This is the grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, notice that, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, Mary gave because she loved God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you turn there in your Bibles? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 14th verse, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, this is an important fact about the Christian life. This is fundamental. The love of God constrains us not to be selfish, but to give ourselves to help others. That's what the Bible is teaching us. And Mary sacrificed out of a heart of love. But I want us to think about this. Mary's giving was predominant. The Bible says this in verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Look at this. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know, this verse reminds me of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi was a church. Paul is on his missionary endeavors from Philippi. He heads over to Thessalonica, and he had great contention in Thessalonica. And he writes to the church at Philippi. If you know anything about the church at Philippi, they were a very poor church. They didn't have anything. I mean, listen, the poor people called the church of Philippi poor. They had nothing. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Look at this. "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You see, as the church at Philippi sacrificed and gave, God smelled that aroma, and it was pleasant to God. Oftentimes when I come home from work, my wife will have a scented candle burning. And I don't know if you're wives, or maybe you yourself, like scented candles, but my wife will light a scented candle, and sometimes I'll walk into the house, and that aroma will fill the house, and immediately that smell will bring back memories into my mind, and I'll smile, and I'll think about maybe when I was a child, or another time in my life, and it's a good memory that aroma brings. And other times, the opposite is true. You smell a fragrance, and it doesn't. It brings a sad occasion into your life. And yet the Bible is saying in this passage of Scripture that the sacrifice of the church at Philippi, it brought joy to the heart of God. He saw their sacrifice. He saw their willingness to give. And it was indeed out of love for God. And the Bible says it was well-pleasing to the Lord. It brought joy to God's heart. And I want to ask you this question today. What aroma of sacrifice, what aroma are you giving off to the Lord today? Are you giving an aroma of sacrifice and of love? Or maybe you're giving off a stench of pride and arrogancy, or maybe you're giving off a stench of, I want to do things my own way. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Mary, when she sacrificed to the Lord, everyone else knew because the aroma filled the room. It was a wonderful testimony of Mary's love for God. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that Mary gave her contribution. She gave to the Lord. But I want us to notice number two, if we could, this morning, Mary's critics. Mary's critics. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare that was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." You know, any time we want to step out by faith and sacrifice and serve the Lord, there will be critics. There will be those who will stand opposed to our decision. And this is no different in Mary's life. Mary had critics. And the Bible specifically teaches us that one critic, his name was Judas. He was Simon's son. Now, Judas followed Jesus, but Judas wasn't a follower of Jesus. Judas followed Jesus, but he wasn't a follower of Jesus. The Bible says he's criticizing Mary. He's criticizing believers. You know, criticism in its simplest form is a symbol of hypocrisy. For all stand in need of repentance and devotion, and all need to give more and more in their life. And when we come so short ourselves, how can we possibly criticize
when we consider the mistake of other people. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Judas is criticizing Mary for her sacrifice and her devotion for the Lord Jesus. And I'll be honest with you this morning, it's a lot easier to criticize than contribute. It's a lot easier to criticize than to do something. And so many people would rather criticize the vision of others or the decisions of others or the direction of others than following God themselves. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. So it wasn't just Judas here that thought the money should be given to the poor. The Bible says in Mark 14, verse 4, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor. And the Bible says, and they murmured against her. Now Judas expressed his concern for the ministry. But the Bible, as it reveals the heart of men, also reveals the concealed motive that was in Judas's heart. The Bible says he was a thief. And he didn't care about other people. He didn't care about loving God. He didn't care about following God. No, he wanted to help himself to the money. He cared about himself and what he could gain. He cared about the money that could be in his pocket. The Bible says that he was selfish. Selfish. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that Judas criticized the work and the devotion of Mary. God help us today to not be critical of others who step out by faith and desire to trust God. God help us not to be those who push down but to lift up. God help us not to be those who tear down but build up. And here we find in this passage of Scripture those who were tearing down. You know, I think it's also interesting here, as many Bible teachers believe, and I don't know if this is the case, this is speculation, but many Bible teachers believe that Simon the leper was the father of Judas. The Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. In John chapter 6 and verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? That's not to salvation, but to an office or a ministry, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, isn't it interesting, and I'm not trying to read into Scripture here, but if it is true that Judas Iscariot is the son of Simon in this passage of Scripture, and here Simon invited these people to come to his house to celebrate the incredible work of God in his life, then why would he criticize such love and devotion for Jesus when he changed his father's life and made him whole again? Oftentimes, we as Christians forget what God has done for us. And our heart is pushed to criticism and not praise, to thank God for changing our lives. Friend, listen to me. If you're a Christian today, you were on your way to hell. You were lost and undone. The Bible says you were following the very course of the devil himself. But Jesus changed you. And now you are a child of God. You have a home in heaven waiting for you. Your life may be bleak, but in Christ, it is always bright. And here we find in this passage of Scripture the very heart of Judas Iscariot. Does God smell the fragrance of a heart of love from you? Or does God smell the stubbornness of a cold heart? I see Mary's contribution. I see Mary's critics. But I want us to notice, thirdly, together this morning, Mary's critics.
Christ. The Bible says this in verse number 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. This is significant to understand the faith of Mary. You see, in this scripture, we see a sincere servant. We see a helping hypocrite. But also we notice the anointed one. We need to try to put ourselves in Mary's place. You know, she had listened to Jesus. She had sat at his feet. You know, the story of Martha serving, and here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's learning. And she had heard him talk about his death and his burial. She had thought it through and realized one day Jesus is going to die. And so she had gathered all of her funds together, maybe even her life savings, and she had bought this ointment, this spikenard, which was used in a time of burying, and she had bought this to use for the Lord Jesus Christ. At some point in preparation for that death, she had bought this rare and costly spice, and she hid it away. Then Lazarus died. Oh, and this changed her perspective. Mary might have been tempted to use the very spices on Lazarus, but she did not. And then the Bible teaches us that Jesus comes and raises Lazarus from the grave. Wow, what an incredible scene that must have been. And then Jesus makes this incredible statement. He says, Mary, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then she realized something. He's going to die. But he's not going to stay in the grave forever. He is going to raise from the dead. He is the resurrection. And so 6 days before the Passover, when Jesus would go to the cross, Mary took that costly spikenard that would have been for his death, and realized that Jesus wants a living sacrifice. And so she took it and anointed his head, anointed his feet, and washed his feet with her hair. This is an incredible statement of the faith of Mary. Mary demonstrated her faith in God. And God help us today to live a life of faith, trusting the Lord, believing the promises of God, and serving Him with all of our heart. I'm here to tell you today that you can trust Him. He is worthy of our greatest sacrifice. He is worthy of our everything. I heard the story of a young boy who came to church for the very first time. And he walks into the church building and he's looking around and he sees all of the people excited to serve the Lord. And I mean, his heart is filled. Never been to church before. His heart is filled with everything that is happening. In Sunday school, he heard about the greatest story ever told, about Jesus coming to earth and dying for him. And in Sunday school, he talked to the teacher after and told the teacher he wanted to get saved. And he put his faith and trust in Christ. The next Sunday, he came, and as he was in class, they were handing around an offering plate, and they were giving an offering. And people were giving to the Lord. But he had nothing to give. And he walked over to the young man who had that offering plate. And he grabbed it from his hands, set it on the floor, and stepped inside of it. And he said, Jesus, I have nothing to give you, so I just give you myself. And that's where it begins. It begins with giving the Lord us. You see, Mary gave because she loved God, because she had given herself to the Lord. She was a living sacrifice. And God help us today to be that living sacrifice. To sacrifice, to give, to serve, to be faithful, out of a love for God because he's done so much for us. And he is worthy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around this morning. I want to ask a couple of questions.